You know, the reason why we're here today, why we sit in this congregation in this town, is because of legacy. Legacy from actually 2,000 years ago. You know, if it wasn't for the likes of Peter and John and the other apostles, and them testifying of what they saw, the death and the resurrection of Christ, and those testimonies and stories being passed down from generation to generation, we wouldn't be here today. And this morning, it's a great privilege to ask part of the legacy maker in this church to come and share a word with us. Usher Bell, who was singing at the end there with the microphone, he is one of the Bell clan. The Bell clan is created by Johnny and Delesti, who are elders in our church and have been part of this congregation since it began. So we're talking way before it was a shofar church. We're talking some 30 years ago, even maybe longer. We still have some other fantastic and long-standing members like Derek and Rosita and Tani Betsy. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the legacy that you have passed on to us, the next generation. You guys have done an incredible job. You've done an incredible job. We are so blessed that we have so many generations represented in our family. And that is a testimony to what God has done through your lives. So this morning, it's great privilege and honor to ask and invite Johnny to come and share with us a word. Johnny.
Our latest tip to give you feedback on our latest tip to the Ukraine. And and then this morning I would like to share with you. But before I do that, I would just like Delesti to say a few words that she's got in her heart.
Good morning, everyone. I hope I can do the same this morning than what it was at the marriage prep on Thursday night. When we came home, Johnny said to me, "You know what? You were just like Trevor and Noah. You had the people." So whatever, I don't know if it's a compliment or not, but what I want to say to you, really, for many, many years we've been going to the Ukraine. In the beginning we had proper prayer support. We were prophesied over, flags waving. And then after 18, 19 years, that all diminished. And with it, we felt we were like we're going to battle through. Every year we went. But this time, we realized, and it was really God laid upon our hearts to have prayer support. And praise the Lord for WhatsApp. Because I was in contact with with Joanne on WhatsApp, and like twice a week, we send through a little report and special prayer requests. So there's someone from the Ukraine here this morning, Sasha, and you will bear with me that when my kids, we went to the Ukraine and we were there for a week before we started to travel, and we saw people that we need to in Kiev. And then my daughter and them, they came to visit us for 4 days, which was wonderful. And we showed her our traveling program, our schedule. And she said to us, "Dad, Mom, you jylles betotteld." That was her word. That means you are crazy. How can you travel for 3 weeks and do so much? So if I tell you how we travel, I would just like to share with you, Johnny, just tell me. Okay, we started in Kiev and on a Monday night. So we went to a conference that was between South Africa and the Ukraine, a 3-day conference in Dnipropetrovsk. It was 3 days. From there, we went with a Platzkart to Karostovka. And a Platzkart is a third-grade train. And I was so upset, I said to our friend, traveled with us, she's a translator, and she taught us to speak Russian. And she traveled with us, Irina. And I said, "Irina, why did you get a Platzkart? because it's a third, I've passed the test. I want to travel in style this 3 weeks, you see. But on the train, there was someone. Johnny, you will share about that. Okay. I'm not allowed to share that. So after that, we went to Cherkasy. We went to Anatoly, we went to Cherkasy, and from Cherkasy we moved, we went to greet a friend on Monday night in Mozhny, we went to Ruskapelyana, and so we hit wide. And then it was overnight trying to Lvov for 3 days, coming back. Sasha is getting impressed. She knows how far it is. It's overnight coming back. But it was hectic. We slept in Ternopil one night. But for me, the most terrible trip was when we had to go to Simferopol. That's the southern part. And by accident, they booked us to Odessa. So from Odessa, we had to go to Simferopol. It's 14 hours on the train. Why I'm saying this, by the time the last week we were in Armiansk and Skadovsk, I didn't have any strength. I just want to share this one thing. So you will understand, you will understand this. In our hearts, there are two international evangelists that we had to get victory over. The one was Benny Hinn. And the other one is Joyce Meyer. You will understand now. Just hang on. So 15 years ago, when we went to Armenia, we had Johnny taught on the cell church at that time. We had to climb 14 flights of chairs. And as we walked into the room full of leaders, they had Benny Hinn preaching to them in Russian. And Johnny just looked to me. He said, "We'll have to get victory over Benny Hinn." And so we arrived in Armiansk, and I was so tired. I thought, "Lord, I cannot even breathe or think," because the thing is, it's not only the traveling, but your guest people that you stay with, they are waiting for you. And when you arrived at your people that you're going to stay, you've got to give yourself. They are so excited. And so I thought, my mind feels like an orange that was being squeezed. So as we walked into this little flat, there the lady was, and she was waiting for us. But praise the Lord, Joyce Meyer was preaching in Russian. And they were listening to Joyce Meyer in Russian. I thought, "Oh, I'm so glad now I won't have to fellowship with her." Can you imagine that? I'm being honest. But after a nice wash, I thought, "No, let me go and introduce myself." So I talked to her. And you know, God is so faithful. He just knows how to catch us every time. So my point of contact many times is, "What is your profession? So what kind of work do you do?" And she says, I don't know how to explain it in Afrikaans. Sy is 'n huiskraan bestuurder, daai groot huiskrane met die baie gears wat die goed so optel. What is a huiskraan? A crane. A woman. And I looked at her, so we started to talk about her job. And it was so wonderful. But what I wanted to say, that everything that you will hear this morning, I want to thank you for your prayers, really. It was like when you thought you cannot go. The last, when you were in Kherson, Sasha, you had to catch the last train back to Kiev. It was so cold, I thought my sweat drops are going to freeze on my head. And the train was 400 meters long. And we had to run and walk. So thank you for your prayers. And all the glory to God, what Johnny's going to share with you.
Bless you. I just want to get something off my heart. Since we've come back, there's been a rumor circulating that this was our last visit to Ukraine. Don't believe that. Whoever said that was a liar. In any case, we arrived at Kiev airport and going through the passport control. No, first, our journey started on the 7th of September. On the 6th, my 17th grandchild arrived. So, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And she is here. So we arrived at Kiev Airport and going through passport control, a gruff, unfriendly voice saying, in a gruff voice, "What do you want in Ukraine?" And there was such a warm feeling in my heart. I knew I'd arrived back home in my country again. Now, as Delisi said, we traveled for 3 weeks. We traveled through that whole country. We crisscrossed that. And for the first few days, we were in Kiev. So I'd like to show you, those that are not familiar with Kiev, what a beautiful city that is. That, of course, the Orthodox temples that are everywhere. It's like the mosques in Turkey. Everywhere, these Orthodox temples. And this is the Russian Orthodox temple. The next one. This is sort of the city center of Kiev. All in between those buildings, there are streets going up there. It's such a beautiful, beautiful sight. All right? And this was the end of their sort of a flower show that they annually have there in the Ukraine. And you could see they depicted a scene in the sea. That's a treasure chest. And I think that is an octopus or something in the background. All right? That is a... that's not a cupcake. It's a karavai, which is the traditional bread, whether it's at a wedding or whatnot. On top of it, there's a pinch of salt, and you are welcomed into their homes, and you bake a piece of karavai and a piece of salt. But those are all flowers, eh? Isn't it beautiful? All right? That, of course, is the well-known silver lady. She's made of titanium, and apparently if they sold that, all the titanium, they could pay off all their debts in the Ukraine. We still do not know what she actually represents, whether it's Mother Russia or whether... But in any case, you can see the tip of her sword had to be cut off because originally it was higher than the highest Orthodox temple. And then the priests complained about that, so they had to cut off the tip of the sword. And there's an elevator in that sword, so you can... have a real good view from up top there. And underneath, there's the War Museum. All right? All right, you can pause that one. That's just me preaching at the conference. And of course, as usual, if it was a good sermon, I get a bunch of roses. And apparently, this was quite a good sermon, and this is what I got from the... Now, this was the conference in Dnipropetrovsk. We were about 10 South Africans there, and... then together with all our counterparts, all the churches that we have been supporting over the years, they were presented at this conference. Now, it was very cold. It rained the whole time. Wherever we went, it was getting colder and colder. But now they have these secondhand clothing shops. It's become a great industry in the Ukraine. Secondhand clothing shops, we call them missionaries' boutiques. Because there you get the greatest bargains. So when it got too cold, we went to the missionary's boutique, and then you select whatever you want. 200 hryvnia, it's about a rand, hryvnia is a rand, or 50 hryvnia. But then all of a sudden, at a certain stage, the manageress shouts, "It is happy hour." Then everything is reduced to 11 rand. And you can see the guys walking around with armfuls of clothes for hours waiting for a happy hour to happen. Sometimes it does not happen, but then if it does happen, you're nearly killed in the rush going to the paying section. So every city we got to, we traded in our clothes for bigger bargains and warmer clothes. So that's how we managed through the old time. Now, this is just photos at the conference. Remember this Pastor Jura? He was here. He preached on a Sunday evening. He was the ex-boxer. And those are some of the pastors together with us. Next one. Oh, just show you some of the lovely treats that we had there, all right? And this is the day they said goodbye to us at the station at Dnipropetrovsk. And this is Pastor Sergei with the jean jacket and his wife there at the back with a hand on Delicia's shoulder. They were also here, and as well as this couple on their right. They were also here last year at our local conference here in Franschhoek. Okay, the next one. Now, this is the our little trip on the train, and this little girl, Irina, led her to the Lord there in the Platzkar compartment. Next one. So just give you an idea. The Platzkar, they haven't got doors. It's all open, and of course it's mixed, male and female, and you just have to throw a sheet over your head if you want to get undressed or what, or get dressed. And it's all a happy hour there. the next one. So you can see the small space that I have to spend my happy hour. All right. Okay. And here we arrived in Karistovka, a small little village. Now, that is Anatoly Dudnik. Him and Nadia, that was the church that was supported by Franschhoek Christian Fellowship right years ago. And the team, at least twice from this church, went to visit them in Karistovka. Now, this is true, real Ukrainian life in these small villages. That's where you really get the Ukrainian life. It's beautiful, wonderful people, salt of the earth. And but you still get that old communistic mentality, suspicion, they don't trust anybody. So while we were walking in the street, Anatoly was taking us to his church building, show us there. One old man came rushing out of the house. The Leslie was taking photographs all over the street. So he was shouting to Anatoly, he said, "Is she spying on us?" And Anatoly says, "Don't worry, we won't send your photograph to the FBI, so be at rest." So next one. Those are the church bells. You know, this gas bottle's been cut in half. Those are the church bells. All right, next one. Okay, you can just play that video clip for me. He loves singing. All right, so those are the little tractors. I think they made most of them made in the backyard. Next one. That's me and Nadia. Nila said, I told you, Nadia. The spread that they put out for us there, the best, the very best, okay? And that's the old babushka looking after a cow, a milking cow. It's all in Karistovka. Just give you an idea of the background, the village, what it looks like. And now, from there, we traveled to Cherkasy. Now, in the Cherkasy, it was the celebration of the Harvest Festival. So, they had a special day. Is this one on sound? All right, the next one. Okay, now, I just want to show you. This is the nearest I ever came to dancing in church, when they sang this song. One back. Okay, go on back, Chris. All right. Isn't that exciting? All right, the next one. Maybe you can skip this one. Just go to the next one. All right, now this was in our office. This is the Ukraine flag and this is the Russian flag, and this guy has promised to pray for us for the two countries. He is from Ruska Polyana. That's from Cherkasy. We traveled to this little village of Ruska Polyana where this guy is a pastor in the church. All right, the next one. Now they're planting a new little church. This is the on my left-hand side. This is the new pastor of this small little village church next to Ruska Polyana. Okay. This is a little house that they're converting into a church building. Go on. Carry on. That's what it looks inside. Okay, you can play this one. Put the sound to it. Bachelor. That's what the church that can take about 20 people. So they're starting very small. And he'll be living in the house of the Lord forever because he's preparing his bedroom next to the gathering hall there. Now, they don't have lawnmowers or anything like that. They still do. Yeah, they can't just give a sense.
Oi, Johnny!
You'll see now. I don't know what's called in English. This, it's not a sickle. Yeah, that's right, yeah. They still use that to mow the lawn and harvest. All right, the next one. Now, this to me was very special. This was before the service in Ruska Polyana. It's not a halo on my head. It's just that the light there. But we just received news that it wasn't going so well with Alexei. And so we were interceding there for little Alexei. So that to me was a very, very special time. That's the senior pastor of that church in Ruska Polyana. Next one. Now, just to show you, those people can pray. You know, I was just thinking, our worship leader just said, won't you just tell the Lord how much you love him? And really, nobody said a word. Maybe some of you were praying silently, but nobody said a word. But if it's prayer time there, this little boy knows, as his prayer mat puts it down, they start praying. The next one. That's a pity. Because if you say to them, let us pray, everybody prays out loud. It's not single prayers. They pray their hearts out. And they will keep on praying until you say amen. Even if it takes 2-3 hours, they'll pray loud. It is so uplifting. It is just tremendous. I'm sorry about that. Right, the next one. Is there sound here? Now, this is a Pentecostal church that is still coming into the renewal. Usually they are very legalistic. You'll see they've still got the head coverings, the woman. This young pastor and his dad has moved into the renewal, and it's such a pleasure to be with them. All right. Now, this outside Cherkasy, this is the Dnieper River. There it flows 19 kilometers wide. It's called the Cherkasy Sea. It's but beautiful. Next one. They've got the Lover's Bridge. You can see all these locks. The lovers go and put their names on the lock and then throw the key away, you know, sort of forever and ever. But after a few years, they have to cut off the locks because then the bridge, otherwise the bridge will collapse. So, all right, the next one. So this is what the lock looks like, you know. I'm yours forever. Now, from there we traveled to Lviv. That is the capital of the Western Ukraine. Now, this is typical scene. Isn't it beautiful? The most beautiful. It reminds you very much of Paris or St. Petersburg. It's a beautiful city. Now, unfortunately, they cannot stand the Russians there. Because most of the people that were sent to Siberia during the time of persecution came from there, from the west of Ukraine, because that was the religious Bible Belt. And so it's actually a disgrace if you marry, if you intermarry, be a Ukrainian and a Russian. They're not very fond of that. So they took us to a restaurant. It is underground. First, the next slide. I'll tell you now about the restaurant. This is now also part of Lviv, a beautiful, beautiful city. Next one. Here we spoke to the leadership. There's Pastor Andre in the center there. He was also here last year at our conference. And we just encouraged them. And now, I also spoke about mission work, encouraging them to step out into missions. So I asked him, you know, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I said to them, who are your Samaritans? And there was a long moment of silence. And then they said, the Russians. They are the ones that we like the least. Okay, the next one. Now, all right, is there a bit of sound there? Come rain or sunshine. He's got the umbrella there, you can see it's raining. The next one. So we arrived there. It was a coffee festival and a chocolate festival. Now, I've never ever experienced anything like that. Next slide. You can see all the different coffee stalls. There must have been about 200 stalls, each making their own coffee, their own method. This is the chocolate section. It was the best handmade chocolates I've ever eaten in my life. You can see the next one. Now, this was an old Jewish restaurant. It was the biggest synagogue, and then it was destroyed in World War II by the Germans. And now what's left of it is being used as a Jewish restaurant. I haven't got time to tell you, but this is a very funny story. Because the menu has got no prices. You first eat, and then you haggle afterwards for the price. And then they'll argue with you because the price is sky high, and then you will say, all right, tell us a joke. Then I'll maybe give you a discount. Of course, you've got to tell a good joke in front of all the people eating there, and then say, all right, 50 rand off. But it's still too much. My babushka, Rebecca, needs a gift. So you have to buy a little box of matches with the Ukrainian flag, and they'll give you another 20 discount. The end of it is, it's still too much. All right, call the piano and the violinist. The piano accordion play and the violinist, so they make music, you dance. Then I'll give you a decent discount. So, and you've got to do this in front of the whole audience there. Okay, from there, Inekas, let me just tell you about this. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Ivakula, yeah, so just towing your car away because it was parked in the wrong place. The next slide. Okay, the next one. These people took us to this other restaurant. Carry on the next one. Just to show you all the different soldiers that they had inside in this wall. Now, from here, the resistance movement, the Ukrainian resistance movement, was operating against the Russian oppression. It's a lot of little rooms, and everyone, this one is alcohol, this one is coffee, and this one is little sweets, until you get to the big restaurant. Now, when you get to this, there's a queue from here to the gate, waiting to get in. Huge wooden doors, and then you've got a knock. Then a gruff voice answers, says, "What do you want?" Then you say, "Slava Ukraina." And then they let you in. If you're single, you get a tot of vodka. But if you're a group, of course, it's too expensive. You just let in. But at every door, there's a guy with a machine gun or with a drawn pistol. See? And you're reminded of everything that they went through during the 70 years of oppression. So eventually, we had to catch a train that night. And our pastor's wife, she was getting afraid that we would miss the train. So she, they call the Russians Muskal, and the Russians call them, the Ukrainians, Chachol. I still don't know what it means, but it's not very nice names. They call one another. So the pastor's wife said, she put up her hand, she said to the manager, "Please ask a waitress to come and serve us. We've got to catch a train." So after a few minutes, he came back. He says, "I'm sorry, she cannot serve you now. She's busy torturing a Muskal." So, rather, next slide. That was just what it looks like inside the restaurant. Next one. Next one. So, here we were in Ternopil. Now, for those of you that have been to the Ukraine, and the headquarters was Ternopil, we had a wonderful, wonderful time there of ministry. Carry on. This is Pastor Volodya and his little grandson. Next one. Okay, just click. Oh, that's his little grandson dancing there. That's what Rosita was saying. That's the daughter-in-law. Okay, thank you. That's Marta, myself, walking in the plane there in Ternopil. Next one. All right. They tried to turn me into Davy Crockett, but it didn't work. Next one. So here we're at the stations. They're saying goodbye to us. Next one. Now, while on the train to Odessa, we were tired, and we hoped that with only the three of us, Rina, Dilly, myself. But when we came in, we found this guy on the left. They are professional rowers, dragon racing. You know, where you've got the 22 rowers and the guy beating the drum there. So they're professional, and that's all they do. And they've got such a sense of humor. And they crowded into our compartment, and we chatted for hours there. Eventually, they left, and I got into the bunk because it's time to sleep now. And a little while later, they came back again. In any case, the next one. I'll just show that they won. They just came back from a contest in Poland where they won the bronze medal. Next one. Here it was in Simferopol. Next one. Keith and Daniels and his wife, Erika. She's Ukrainian. They live and work among the Tatars, the Muslim Tatars in the Crimea. Next one. Right now, here it was in Skidovsk. Let me just tell you about Skidovsk. We used to come to Skidovsk and they were staying with the pastor, but now his house was right close to these neighbors and they had a pigsty. Man, it's a coastal town, and when that sea breeze comes up, it is horrific. So they had to close the windows and the doors, and then it's summertime, it's so hot, you are dying. And of course, they must have seen our agony for two or three times that we visited them. So when we arrived there this time, yeah, this was our last stop because he had invited me to come and speak to them on missions. They've never had anybody telling them about missions. So when we arrived there, they booked us into this fabulous guest house. And I thought, my goodness, these guys are in prosperity. Until we got into his little car,
So the back seat was broken, so he has to hang on to the steering wheel. He can't drive with one hand because then he'll fall. He's got to hold on to the steering wheel to keep upright. And at the back seat where Delisi and them were sitting, that was propped up with books. So to keep them from toppling to the back. And why I'm telling you this is that after, can you give you the next slide? Well, you can see again, I got all those roses, so it must have been a good message again. Why I'm telling you this, you know, when we landed in Kiev, the lady said to me, Johnny, we must pass every test. Because every time we go there, God works in us 80% and only about 20% through us. So we are subjected to so many tests, and we have to pass these tests. And you know, is that as usual, there was taking up the collection. And in my pocket, I had 200 hryvnia note, which is 200 rand, and a 1 hryvnia note. And I know when we get back to Kiev, I have to still go to catch a taxi because we've got a lot of luggage. Got to catch a taxi back to the apartment, and from there to the airport again, and that will be 200 hryvnia. That's all I've got. And I took the 1 hryvnia note, so I'll put that in. And as usually, then the Lord speaks to you. He says, "Are you trying to tip me? What about all the blessings that you've enjoyed? This has been the most fantastic trip of all our years spent in Ukraine. What about all the blessings?" So I took the hryvnia, I put it back, and I took the 200 hryvnia, and I put it in. The next morning, afternoon, the pastor and his wife came to say goodbye to us. See, for a moment, I had shifted my allegiance from God to Mammon. I knew what I had, instead of trusting God who supplies all my needs. So the pastor and his wife came to visit us. They brought us a little gifts and whatnot, and they gave us a little envelope for our ministry. Knowing how poor they are, I knew it would be about 50 hryvnia. So when I opened it, it was 10,000 rand. You never can outgive God. You can never outgive God. Brother, I'll just go through them quickly. This was again the train. All right, this was on my way to my last ministry in Kiev Victor Polunas Church, carry on. And now this guy, this was the first Russian that ever kissed me on my mouth. but he was always eating fish, man, and I couldn't, you know, and he saw me ducking down. So he says, "Well, he won't embarrass me this time, he'll kiss me on my head." Carry on. And here was my last, they were getting married the next week, so there was a marriage counseling there. And this was Ruman and Galia, our two interpreters. And that's for the last time I closed the door. Is it one slide? All right. Okay. Oh, welcome home, Derek and Rosita. Thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, I just want to share a very, very short word with you. Acts 1, verse 8. Can somebody just open this? Acts 1, verse 8. I won't be long. All right. It says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, most products and services today come with a disclaimer. Now, if there are some of you who do not know what a disclaimer is, first Afrikaans, dis 'n kennisgewing wat jy onthef van enige verantwoordelikheid of aanspreeklikheid, né? Now this, can you just put on that photograph? This is a disclaimer I took at Pall Mall. This is to say that they are not responsible if the chandelier drops in your head or something like that if you go shopping there. But they do encourage you to come do shopping there. But if something does happen, it's not their problem. Now, most products and services, they come with a disclaimer. And I've read quite a few of them. A popular car wash posts a sign that says, not responsible for any damage to your vehicle. Now that says, the label of a medical cleaner says, may discolor some fabrics, and usually ends up discoloring them all. Or a doctor makes a new patient sign a document releasing the doctor from litigation if a procedure proves harmful. And or if you go bungee jumping, they'll say, this is the greatest engineering discovery of all ages. It's never broken. But in case it does break, we won't be responsible for what happens to you. Now, I suppose you've also seen many, many strange disclaimers. Now, all too often, Christians act as if Jesus added a disclaimer to his command. You will be my witnesses. Brothers and sisters, what disclaimers do the following popular responses add to Jesus' words? I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. I'm afraid I'll be getting involved into a religious argument. I'm too busy. I've got too much work. Let someone else share their faith. It's not my gifting. I'm not an evangelist or a missionary. I didn't have adequate training. I can't talk about the Lord or about my faith. Or my faith is a very private matter. But to each of these responses, Jesus replies, you will be my witnesses. Jesus' love and forgiveness, won for us on the cross of Calvary, covers even our disobedience to this command of you will be my witnesses. And his love for us removes the disclaimers we might be inclined to add to his words. His sacrificial love for us, together with the power of the Holy Spirit, motivates and empowers us to do that which he desires, namely, you will be my witnesses. The other day I met an old friend of ours. He used to fellowship here with us, Arnold van der Spey. For the last 20 years, he's been doing missionary work in the Amazon. Now, he looks like the wild man from Borneo. He has got this long hair and this black band around his head. And he constantly wears this T-shirt, bold Jesus, the devil's worst nightmare. But you know, he said something very profound. He says, Christians are the biggest cowards in the world. Because Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You will be, the original language says, you will be my martyrs. You will be despised. You will be rejected. You will be imprisoned. You will even die. But you will be my witnesses. He says, we are the greatest cowards that he's ever seen. He says, because whenever he's asked to address schools or churches, and he tells them what's going on in the Amazon, and they say, oh, but isn't it dangerous? Aren't you afraid? By the way, he's invited a team from this church to come with him to the Amazon. And he puts this disclaimer to his words. He says, tell them I will take them in safely, but I can't guarantee how many will come out again. My brothers and sisters, my question to us all is, how might we, who have seen, who have heard, and who have experienced the love of Jesus, better fulfill Jesus' desire, namely, to be his witnesses at work, at home, in the community, and in the world. Have you ever wondered, in what way can I prove my gratitude for my salvation? In what other way can I prove my gratitude? It's only by telling others about what God has done for me. That's the good news. But if good news is not shared, it's not good news anymore. I pray that as the Holy Spirit works through His Word, that we might be strengthened and equipped and enlivened by His to be His witnesses. How else can we be motivated to respond to God's love by echoing the attitude of Paul in Acts 20, verse 22 and 24? He says, "If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." My favorite scripture, Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. "But when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, so that I may preach the good news to the heathens, so that I may be His witness to the heathens." And my brothers and sisters, unless we understand the purpose of the church, we will never win the battle for the souls of men. The simplicity of the gospel. My goodness, we make it so complicated. So often people ask the lesson myself, and then we read between the lines what they actually mean. How do you live and operate in the Ukraine? And what we actually understand is they want to know, do you fast and pray the whole time? And do you stand on street corners preaching the gospel to them? Or questions like, how many souls did you win this time for God? And believe it or not, somebody asked me, please come and tell me about how many miracles you performed or how many miracles you witnessed. Our answer is plain. We live and work there as we live and work here in South Africa at home. We sow the seeds, the word of God, wherever we get the opportunity. Sometimes we are blessed to reap a harvest where we even haven't even sown seeds. If I think in 1995, my goodness, whenever we preached at a church there, 10, 20, 30, 40 people responded to the gospel and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. It was magic. We had a mass baptismal service, 700 souls that we baptized in one day. It was wonderful. We'd never sowed a seed except for 70 years. We've been praying for the people behind the Iron Curtain, and God answered, and we were there to reap where others had planted and plowed. My brothers and sisters, I want to share a few short testimonies. And please, you know our hearts by now. We know you know our hearts by now. This is not to boast about how saintly we are. But God loves natural spirituality. Natural spirituality. John 1 verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the light unto men. We were sitting at the airport coming back to South Africa at the restaurant table waiting for our flight. There was a Russian guy, a Russian-speaking guy, sharing the table with us. He was having coffee and a bun, and we had something to eat and coffee. Then he stood up, and as he walked past me, he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said to me, he says, "You are such a wonderful couple. Thank you for the example." And I thought, I didn't even blow my wife a kiss or do this to her. Maybe I held her hand when we prayed. But something about us or in us touched his heart. On the train to Odessa, I told you about these professional rowers. They spent a lot of time with us, and eventually I got into the bunk. And just before I was about to fall asleep, when they all trooped in again, and they said, "Can we come and sit here? Because there's such a wonderful, peaceful atmosphere." My brothers and sisters, do you realize that we create sacred space wherever we go? Wherever we are, there is Christ. Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That young girl that was sitting between me and Irina, that I showed you the clip, from the moment we started talking to her, she started crying, eyes filled with tears, and we led her to the Lord. Not this time, a previous time, Delicia and I, and Irina again, we were a short trip, 4 hours journey, but we were booked in a platskar that had come from Siberia. They'd already spent 2 nights in the train, and they would spend another night in the train. Now we get in here, they're all still lying in their beds, and we have to they have to pull in their legs so that we can have a place to sit. And the train was jam-packed with gypsies. Now, whenever there are gypsies, everybody clings to all their possessions, you see. And so these two ladies lying there, they were Russian-speaking. They said to Irina, "Who are they?" She made the mistake of saying, "Oh, they're missionaries." And the one woman says, "Tell them to get out of the country. We don't need them here." And Irina bent down to pick up a Bible, said, "What are you doing?" She says, "No, I want to defend us." I said, "Just leave it. Just leave it." Those days, we still had the photographs, you know. It wasn't everything on the computer. It's photographs. Photographs of my family, of our triplets, and all that kind of thing. And we started looking at them. We chatted. We laughed. And so they sat up in their bed. So they wanted to see it too. The next thing, our compartment was crowded with gypsies. They saw, and I said, "Oh, Lord, well, I'm saying them because I'll never see them again." And they went down the whole train, all the gypsies watched our photographs. But we were watching, where's the man of peace? Where's the man of peace? And all of a sudden, he came from the next compartment, and he came and joined us. And he sat there. And after a while, Irina and I went out between the two coaches just to get a bit of fresh air. And this guy followed us. He says, "This is what you've been talking about. How can I get that?" We prayed with him and accepted the Lord. By the time we got back there, these two women, with tears in their eyes, were listening how Delicia was testifying to them, how God had helped her with the birth of the triplets and of our 6 children, how we brought them up. And then here was our station we had to get off. This woman jumped up with a card. She says, "If you come to my to our town, you stay with me." The other one said, no, you're going to stay with us." Just the fragrance of God. Now, Asher and Veronica, where are you? Is Veronica ready? Delicia, can you come? I'll just ask Asher and Veronica just a short testimony. Will you give us another 5 minutes, Johnny? Just a short testimony. You don't have to go overseas to the mission field to experience all these things. Everywhere you go, every place you set your foot, remember, it's Christ in you. If you spread that fragrance, God will touch people's lives through you. Maybe we can just have a little chat first. I just want to give you a little demonstration.
I just want to say that for years we've been still part of the body of Christ and been ministering all over and in churches. And for the past few years, the Lord is using us in the marketplace. Our Shoprite and Checkers owns us, and if you can pay. Guys, with our gifts and the talents God has given us, and I've always used this example. I'll show you now. It's always an example where I use the violin, and I'll show you now where there's two principles I give in the body of Christ to encourage them. It's time that you spend with the instrument. The more time you spend with the instrument, the more authority it gives you. The more time you spend in your field, the more authority it gives you. And the other principle is obedience. If you listen to God and you do what He tells you to do, then He's there. He's always there. Like my dad is saying, is for me, if I say it's wrong words maybe, but I don't care if the Lord uses me only 90% in me and 20% in me, through me. That 20% is 200% powerful because it's of Him. I don't care if He uses me 1%. At least if I say, Lord, here I am, use me. So we went to this corporate conference that I'm doing, and I'm doing the motivational speaking, and we split them up in different groups. That's what we do, and we train them team building. It's a team building exercise. And this particular company had a lot of Jews as partners and as CEOs. And through the years, I see that they invited Muslim partners as well as then Hindu partners into the business. Now, I don't have nothing, I love every person, doesn't matter from which faith he is. As a person, as God loves us and God loves him, he loves, even all the democratic, but I don't like the faith, the religion. It makes me very cross, it's on my heart, I don't know. I just want a box. If I see in the corporate industry, always in the food industry, if I see the Borki Halal, I want to put up a board and say, where's the Christian food? You know? It's probably what it's in there. In any case, so I always use this example, and that particular night, I was the motivational the speaker for the, what's it called, the group
team building
stuff, yeah. In any case, so we've done the team building with him, and that evening, Zalmer was the band, and in the team building, they were in the different teams, and they're going to dance, specifically, they're going to dance on a specific theme. So that was the kind of the overall of the evening, and I was the MC, the master of ceremonies, and just before they started the evening, and he gave over to me, the one lady stood up, and they just want to honor Allah and whatever. And then there was, and I got like very upset, because for me, one must be radical for the Lord. Radical means to be way out, to be different, to be extreme. But radical also means simply to live out what is inside of you. So I really got very upset, because this is my God, and that is my stage, and it's His stage. And I'm going to not let anybody preach a religion here. But we are Christians, we are afraid sometimes. But it's kind of halal, and unity is halal, they can call by that. And then they stood up and they start speaking about Diwali, the tomato is halali. I spoke at this woman, she said, you want to honor the Hindus with the Diwali. And the lights that they put on the tables, because he's light, and yeah, I got upset. And I walked out, and I said, I didn't know what to do. Because I said, wherever I am, wherever I walk with my feet, I want that ground to honor God. So I thought of this example I've always used in church. But now you'll hear this song. And I was afraid to play this song. I first said to Veronica, quickly, Veronica, can't you just play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? Because I won't offend anybody. And she said, no, you play the song that we planned. So this is an example. So I stood up, so they gave honor to all these false gods, everybody else but the name above all names. And they said, okay, and we give now to Usher Bell to run the rest of the evening, the program. So I came up and I said to them, I want to give them an example of how I see this company, from the ordinary to the extraordinary, and I want to show them something. So, you know I can play the violin. So this is what I explained to them. Thank you. said, I want you just to listen. I stood there. I said, I want you to listen to one of my students that I've trained very well. Company, you want to play violin like me? Be an ordinary company, or you want to play violin like Veronica? So I twisted it a little bit, but the song came out. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And afterwards, this is what I'm going to tell you,
the miracle.
Afterwards, the head of marketing came to me. He said, Asher, when you used that example, I was crying. This is exactly how I feel about my company. I said, stop the company. Yes, because Jesus loves me, this I know. She was crying because of that message. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible, the name of the name, above all names, was being proclaimed to that instrument. The head of the company came to me. He's a Jew. There's no Orthodox name. No, he's
Greek.
In any case, he took my hand like this. Took it like this, shake it like this, he does this to me, just like that, and he knew, when I looked him in the eye, he knew it's Jesus Christ, he knew it, and then the one, we were in the bathroom, the other one said to me, I hear you are from, and he's a Hindu, I hear you are from Christian origin, that's what he tells me, I don't know how he knows it, but the Lord worked in mighty ways, so it's not, sometimes it's speaking, it's living, it's breathing it, it's acting it, and just that simple thought, playing Jesus loves me, this I know, standing up for him, let his name be known in our hearts, in our families, in our towns, where we work.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, so often, every one of us have asked a question. What is my ministry? And usually what comes in your head first is preaching from a pulpit or performing miracles and praying for the sick and healing and raising the dead. But true ministry is not standing on a stage or behind a pulpit and performing. But true ministry is life flowing out of you and me because of an intimate relationship with the bridegroom of the church. And the gospel leads to fulfillment. And the only true fulfillment in any believer's life is when you lead a lost soul to Christ. My brothers and sisters, I just want to say this. My friend, a pastor in Belleville, he was walking down the street and towards him came a young man with a t-shirt boldly written here, "Don't go to church." He says he was so upset, he felt like imparting the fivefold ministries on him. He says, but then he walked past this guy, and then he turned around, and bold letters at the back, "You be the church." Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, this is the mission of the church. If the church does not fulfill God's purpose to the world, then Jesus' death becomes worthless and God's redemptive plan useless. Just be who you are. Just be who you are. Unfortunately, if I can just close with this analogy. Now that we've been playing rugby, whatnot. Most, and I'm generalizing now, I'm not talking about you, but most churches, most Christians, are like, you know, we talk about the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, but most churches and people are like a rugby game. There are 30 people there on the field in desperate need of a little rest, while there are 30,000 people on the grandstand in desperate need of a bit of exercise. So my brothers and sisters, and then I'll close the book so you will really believe me. Lastly. The other day I saw on TV about this sail ship from England. It's got no engines. It's a huge ship. It's only got 10 able-bodied seamen. It was calling on the port of Cape Town to take up new crew members. All disabled. Some were blind, some were deaf, some without an arm or a leg, some in wheelchairs. But in the words of the captain, there are no passengers on my boat. Everyone is an active crew member. And that really stuck me. And you should see how they operate. Even those cranes are hoisted up so that they can untie a knot up there high in the sky. And everyone came back from this trip saying this was the most exciting times of their lives. We can go through Christian life, it can be dull and dreary. But once you are actively involved, just living your life, just allowing Christ in us is life with a capital letter. And that life is the light unto men. Amen. Father God, we want to give you all the honor and the glory. Thank you that you love us so much, that you forgive us all our little mistakes. And in spite of everything, you still want to use us because you've given us this command, you shall be my witnesses. Lord, help us not to disappoint you, but so that we can fulfill your mission to this world. Thank you, Father.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Brothers and sisters, how else could Jesus have shown his love for us but by dying on the cross for each and every one, for the remission of our sins? This morning as we partake of his bread and drink from the cup, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in this. That as we partake of this cup and eat this bread, we are reminded of the price that he paid for each and every one of us. We are more than conquerors. It's not I that live anymore, but it's Christ who lives in me.